Good Karma Brand Station.
It's time for the best 60 minutes of your life. This is the Homer Hour, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. Alongside former Packer Brian Belaga, here's Emmy Award winner Homer.
The best 60 minutes of your day. The Brian Belaga Homer Hour. On a night in which the U.S. will attempt to do something they've done only once in the last 90 years. Get to the Elite Eight. Brian Belaga will give all of you the soccer insight, but I just want to make sure you don't tell lies. If the U.S. loses, this will be the fourth World Cup in a row in which they lost in the Sweet 16. And the only time they didn't make the World Cup. This is what U.S. soccer has been, and it's certainly improvement over what it was for years before that. But as I don't know who's the guy, which one he is, because I don't know the names, he said, the U.S. paid a ton of money to bring this coach in to win this game. And that would, or to take the team to the Elite Eight.
Yep.
So I've given you the numbers. Now, Brian Belaga, first, good evening. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm fine. All right. Are there any insight you would want to give? Because all I basically did is give numbers because they get tired when people say stuff that just isn't so. The U.S. has never, no. The U.S. has done nothing historically significant until they win this game. But how they win this game and anything else, Brian Belaga, take it away.
Oh, well, I would agree that they haven't done anything of historical significance unless they do win this game and get to the Elite Eight. I mean, because obviously you've talked about it, I've talked about it, everyone's talked about it. With the way the format of the tournament is, more teams getting in the round of 32, it's a little watered down. Getting to the Sweet 16 is essentially like it used to be where it was tougher to get to this point in general. These were the games you got right off the jump, like the last World Cup when they lost to the Netherlands. This is where they should be in general all the time. Like, right? Like this shouldn't be like, oh my gosh, where we got to the round of 16. Like this should be pretty normal, right? Getting to the next one is where it becomes significant. So to me, yes. If they don't win tonight and they don't move on to the Elite Eight, I think you look at this World Cup as unfortunately a failure, in my opinion. I think that's the way you have to look at it.
A failure?
Yes.
Yeah. Because I would say it's just who they are and have been for the last 15 years.
You're trying to change that narrative.
So they went a little, they took it a little further this year with, would I just say, with the hiring of the coach, or is the level of talent on the team better, or both?
I mean, I think the talent is better. I think overall the player pool is definitely better than it was 4 years ago. There's no doubt there's more talent. You look at Freeman's kid, the youngest player on the team. He's fantastic. Which, by the way, his matchup tonight against Jeremy Doku, the left winger, is going to be something to watch. Jeremy Doku, Man City's left winger, will be going against Freeman essentially all game unless Doku flops sides and goes back and forth. But he's primarily on the left, and he is one of the best young wingers in the world. So Freeman's going to have a big task this evening controlling Doku. But on to Pochettino.
Let me interrupt for just 1 second. You can add more to this. My biggest complaint of the coverage is that they don't give us any idea of how talented the teams are based on the number of players that play, what, in the Premier League? That's the elite league, right? So, and then you just mentioned it. Shouldn't I know where these people play so that I can then use that as a judgment of how good they are? If you're on any of those teams in the Premier League, are you by definition very good, or Explain.
Yeah, I mean, well, yeah, let's just say that you're playing in the Premier League and, you know, you're playing for, or like, you know, Premier League, La Liga in Spain, okay. The Bundesliga in Germany. Those are all the top leagues.
Right.
In
so
those
if the
countries.
U.S. is better, wouldn't I be able to judge that first by seeing how many players they have in those leagues versus the number they've had in past World Cups? Or is that a.
No, you should know. That is accurate. They should let people know that, okay, to see how many of our guys are playing domestically. They play in better leagues than the MLS. Let's just call it what it is. Like, that's, I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. They play in more competitive leagues. They're more difficult week in and week out. The competition is superior. It's all that, right? Like, it is all that. That should be something that the coverage hits on more, is where are these guys playing their soccer domestically, right, week in and week out, and what are the matchups, right? Like, do you have an MLS guy trying to control a great Premier League player or a great La Liga winger or something like that? That should be something that's highlighted in this coverage. They don't do it because they want to negate where they play, because it's a national game and it shouldn't matter, but it does matter. It does matter, in my opinion. And on to Pochettino, the head coach, this is what you pay him $10 million a year for. This is it. Like, you pay him this type of money to get this team in to the Elite Eight. That's where that's why you bring in a guy like him, because he has the goods to get them over the line from a tactical standpoint in these matchups. It's no different than NFL and all these other sports. You want to have a good coach so in these tactical moments you can get over the line, right? Now, at the end of the day, right, just like I always say when we talk the Green Bay Packers, it is up to the players on the field that execute the scheme and the plan and what they're supposed to do. They have to get it done on the field. And if they just get outclassed and outworked and beat, the coach can only do so much. He can only make so many changes. And that is what it is. But this is a game against Belgium that they should be able to play the way that they've been playing and play comfortably. And it should be a very exciting game, don't get me wrong, but they should be able to beat Belgium. This isn't the Belgian team of years ago where this was the golden generation of Belgium and De Bruyne and Lukaku and Tielemans were all in their early 20s and they were just absolute studs. They're a little bit leggier now, we'll just say that. And this U.S. team.
Excuse me, sir. Leggier. I've been listening to your show for a long time with Homer, and I don't remember you ever using that comment once regarding a football player.
Different sports.
Okay, so leggier means old and slow, or?
Yeah, slower, older.
So like a running back in the NFL who's in his 12th year.
Yes, he's a little bit leggier.
Yeah, all right, good. I like that. Feel free to use it in football, the real football, if you wish.
Okay.
Leggier. By the way, am leggier, much leggier.
Well, yeah, I mean, compared to who, then that's where
my benefit is. I was always slow, so you can only, when you're slow, you get less leggier than fast people.
That's true.
Yeah. All right, go ahead.
That's true.
Leggier, got it. So it's a lot of the same guys?
A lot of the same guys are on. I mean, obviously there's new additions in the belt.
But, I mean, if U.S. beats them, we'll hear about how many of their players are retiring from the World Cup.
I think so. That they're done with international duty.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that would be my guess.
Because, you know, if you lose to the U.S., that's
what they're going to say. Yeah. They're going to say, like, it's over. Like, it's got to be done. Listen, I'm not saying that Belgium doesn't have top-class players. They do. I mean, they have very good players. Like, I highlighted Doku, who's a young, fast, twitchy, explosive, creative winger that Freeman's have to go against. Like, yeah, he's one of their younger players and he's fantastic. But that's not who's littered all over the field for Belgium. Like, that's not who's in every single position these days for that team. So I do believe that the United States should get this done. I made my prediction last week.
2-1 for those who weren't listening. If you change, are you still with it?
No, I'm still with it. I still think they win 2-1. I think it's a good game. I think Belgium probably gets one late, and they make it 2-1, and then that's where it goes. But I think the U.S. should have control over this thing fairly early, and the way to do it is the way they've been playing.
And get them early.
Yeah, make Belgium run early. Get them out of their comfort zone. Press them high up the field. Make them uncomfortable, because what Belgium does so well, or what they can do so well with De Bruyne, their midfielder, who's a phenomenal midfielder, just obviously he was with Man City forever. Now he's playing with Napoli.
Oh, he's past his prime.
Yeah, he wants time on the ball. So if you don't press him and he's able to just pick out passes and control the midfield with Tielemans, the other midfielder, yeah, you're going to create a long day.
But if he was still as good as he was, he'd be with Man City, which he's not anymore, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Yeah. He was with Man City, I think, for close to 10 years.
He's at the end. By the way, yeah. I did want to inform you that I watched soccer longer last night than any time, even when my daughter was playing in high school and college. The Mexico-England game.
Yeah.
I know so little, I can't really say I didn't get this and not this, but to see a team short a player, just trying to survive and bringing in tall guys just to make it tougher. It was, and my view of it was that FIFA would have liked Mexico to win. They aided them a little bit, but you still have to win. And Mexico couldn't get it done, even with a little assistance from the officials. Do you agree with my premise or not?
I actually do agree, because I think if that game is anywhere but in Mexico, it's 3-1, 4-1, okay. In my opinion. That's how I truly feel about that. Like that stadium and that crowd and what it does to officials and the pressure it gives officials, I think is I don't think you can put a number on it or a word for it, but it's enormous pressure on that official. So, like, I feel like if they played that game, we'll just say in L.A., right? They played it at SoFi. I think England wins that game 3-1, 4-1. I truly believe that. And obviously, England goes down with the red card, and you know they're playing with 10 men for 40 minutes, essentially 45 plus, because it went 11 minutes extra. It gave Mexico a huge advantage that they weren't able to capitalize on, right? Like, England essentially from the 75th minute on said, all right, we're just going to sit in the box, play defense for the next 25 minutes and hope, and we'll see if you guys can score. That's essentially what they did. And they did it brilliant. Mexico couldn't capitalize on it. And like you said, you have to go out and win the game. And England invited them to win the game, and they could not win the game. So it was a very entertaining match from start to finish. It was very entertaining. Mexico, while they've gotten much better, in my opinion, you know, from seeing how they play, they have some really nice young players. If that gets played out of the country, say, again, neutral site, we'll say they play in Kansas City. It doesn't matter. I think that game looks a lot different, and England's a lot more comfortable in that game, and it's not 3-2 with them fighting for their lives for the last 30 minutes of the game.
All right, you're the expert. How you're down a man. I want to think that's a bigger deal than maybe it is or isn't. How do you explain it to somebody who doesn't watch? Because I thought down a man, ahead one, I figured they're going to lose by one. Because once Mexico scores and ties the game, the place is up for grabs, and the Mexico team is going to have the energy to in the heat or whatever. But it didn't happen, so maybe I don't understand. Teams do better when they're down a man than you would think. Explain.
Yeah, well, what happens when they go down a man is they just pack in defensively and they play super conservative, and they just try to take their chances selectively to attack, but they're just playing super defensive, and 11 guys are playing behind the ball, and or not 11, sorry, 10 are playing behind the ball.
And if you have a lead, you can get away with that. If you're tied or behind,
you're in trouble.
Okay. All right.
yeah, you're in trouble. If you're tied or behind, and what it does is it creates, normally what they'll end up doing is, and just like England did, they subbed off a attacker for another defender, so then they had five defenders. So then you make these subs, and then if you go down or if you tie, your attacking options then are that much more limited, guys to go forward and be creative when you're down a guy, right? Like, so if like you saw the U.S. do it against Bosnia, and they did, and they were able to score a goal and do that. I mean, teams are able to take advantage because sometimes the team with 11 men get a little overzealous and they push too many guys forward and they get caught out and they get punished for it. And that's kind of what happened. Obviously, Tillman hit the great free kick, but still, they had to advance it down to that area to get that free kick. And same thing with England. I believe they went up 3-2 with 10 men, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, that was an amazing play by I call him the fast guy for England. He's just on the sidelines, and he ran faster than everybody else, and that was huge. I'm amazed that there aren't more fast runners, but I guess the key is your foot skill. I pride myself on being wrong.
Yeah, it's being fast, but it's what you can do in the tight spaces once you get on the ball and maneuver in and out of guys and pick out right passes and things like that. But yeah, I mean, to me, it's when you go down to 10 men, you have two decisions, especially if you have the lead. It's we're going to continue to be aggressive and put pressure on the team with 11 men, or we're going to do what England did and bring on Dan Byrne, who's 6'6", and John Stones, who's 6'4".
I wondered if they got him out of the stands. Were those guys actually on the team, or the coach says, yeah, if I need a couple of really tall guys, because that eliminates the corner kick, right?
Yeah, all the crosses and things like that, because Mexico doesn't have a guy that big. So, they don't have a guy near that big. So.
And, I apologize for talking about Mexico, England, but I don't know anything about soccer, but it was just so incredibly, I don't want to say amazing, or you're trying to learn how scared one team is when they're short a person. It seemed to me also, as the game went on toward the end, Mexico was doing worse than they were earlier. It's like they didn't know what to do, and they're kicking these things into the corner or past the end line, which gives the England all they want, and that is a chance for the goalie to hit the ball 800 yards all the way to the other end. You can't let, you know, you need to just stay there and then keep getting corner kicks, right, which England would have accepted, but they didn't even really get as many good shots at the very end as they did earlier. Again, feel free to – I would pride myself, as I say, if you said, Homer, you're way wrong, but I don't know.
No, but you're right in a sense, because they're trying to whip balls in, crosses in, and things like that against England, who are far superior in the air. They're bigger, and you're playing right into their hands, right? They've already decided we're going to pack eight guys into the box and let two of them roam on the outside and pressure the ball a little bit. So you have to kick it back out wide and cross it back in. Like, they fell right in England's hands. And they didn't do any intricate, like, passing and one-twos in the middle of the field to try to break down what they could of that England defense. I get they had a lot of guys in there, but your percentages of maybe getting an opening, a small opening, by passing and try to drive the ball through the middle of the field, or even shooting through the middle field, then hitting crosses against Dan Byrne and John Stones and Gahey and Konsa, who are all over 6'2".
I've never seen that. Have you ever seen that in a soccer game before, where they just brought in tall guys?
I mean, listen, those guys all play in the Premier League. So
do they?
Those are guys, yeah, like Dan Byrne and Stone. Like, oh, yeah, all those defenders. Gahey plays for Man City. Konsa plays for Villa. Dan Byrne, Newcastle.
Would I be better to judge that not by even where they play, but by how big their contract is? Because I'm assuming the contracts are the biggest in that league, right?
Yeah, England pays the most.
Okay, so how much a year they make or something like that, that would probably be good judge in terms of the talent on teams. If someone does that, I'll let you pick whether or not that helps. Who on the U.S. team is probably getting paid the most to play?
It's probably Pulisic.
Okay.
Probably Pulisic, and then the guys like McKinney and Adams, Balogun, who's obviously the striker who all the controversy. Right.
So those of us who don't know should be told this so we can make some judgment of how these guys are doing.
Yeah, those are all guys that play overseas.
Okay.
They play, you know, they play in Italy, they play in Germany, they play in England. They play in all the foreign leagues, and not the MLS. I mean, the only time you make that type of money in MLS is if your name's Messi, and then you get paid as much as you want. But there's only a couple guys in MLS that make that.
They're not fooling you. You know where the best players are.
Yes, okay. I know.
They could give Messi $1 trillion, and it wouldn't change your view of where the best players are.
No, okay. Because Messi—that's what Messi was essentially making when he was playing in Barcelona—was like $1 trillion.
All right, we will. I apologize for all the discussion on Mexico and England, but even if you don't like soccer, I would ask you to maybe watch the replay of that, and then you'll either hate soccer even more or go, "This stuff is weird." And you can't really try to figure out the rules. You just have to watch and then listen to what people who know the sport say when they mention this is crazy, because I think there's an expectation among players and fans like you that weird stuff just happens. You have to live with it, or whatever the standard of that craziness is in the NFL, multiply it by what to get what it is with FIFA. Two or three,
because it just feels like in all these games, a lot of wild stuff is happening. Like these knockout games, things are getting crazy.
Though we did find something that I want to ask you about for American sports, the mark on the ball, like they said, they knew a guy touched it because there's some chip on the ball.
Yep.
Why isn't there a similar chip on a football and a basketball and a baseball?
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
Couldn't agree more.
I'll try to get you to agree more. All right. 1-800-990-3776. I violate this because Brian Bulaga would much rather talk to you than me. 1-800-990-3776. The Carbless talk and text line lists is more. I prefer talk to text, and it doesn't have to be about soccer. But this is has the potential to be a historic day in terms of U.S. soccer, because it would say that the U.S. is getting it. They were at a certain level. They decided to upgrade with the coaching, and maybe the players are better, and they've done what they've only done once before in the New Testament of soccer. A Milwaukee weight loss hasn't changed. Started at 229. Now I'm at 205, 206. I got to talk to them because I want them to give me a weight each week. Start here, which to finish the week, because I know I can do it, because I eat less and I'm okay eating less. And there are no buts. There's nothing special. But I have to do this. No, you don't have to do anything. You don't even have to exercise. And for a limited time, get $200 off of the Milwaukee Weight Loss Summer Special. Book your free consultation now at MilwaukeeWeightLoss.com. MilwaukeeWeightLoss.com. Results may vary. Doctor-developed, doctor-supervised program. It's really simple. I eat less and I'm happy eating less. I'm going to be at this weight for the rest of my life, unless I decided, I think I'll do this. And the specifics of what exactly works for me will probably be different for you. But the fundamental is you eat less and you're okay eating less. I don't have a day where I say, I can't do this anymore. Yeah, I can do it. And I look forward to tell you in 3 months and 6 months and another year. Milwaukee Weight Loss Special Summer, $200 off, MilwaukeeWeightLoss.com or 262-235-3980. Brian Bulaga, and you can ask him questions. It doesn't have to be about soccer. You're next. It is the Brian Bulaga Homer Hour. I need to ask him about this stuff regarding Giannis. They made it official that the trade, but I mean, it's been known for how long. But now the official statement from the GM, and now this one comes from Bucks ownership, and it finishes with forever a Buck. How do you do that? Why? Because somebody's great, you have to lie. He may be forever a Buck, but not today. Basically, he said, nope, I'm out of here. And then Giannis says this, and I will defer to the comments from Brian, because he'll maybe be able to explain it to me. I got to find, I had it and then I lost it. All the things that he said about this is his home and stuff like that. So maybe I wish that wasn't true. Maybe if it wasn't true, he'd still be here. Giannis, no matter where I am, Milwaukee will always be my city, my team, my family. It's crap. If you felt that special about this place, you would not leave. I'm not asking you to feel special, but don't tell me this. On the day you leave, I got to buy this crap? Now, again, I'm done, and now Brian Bulaga, who understands this as a player, and you did something I would have never done when you retired as a Packer, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I'll retire as a Packer if you sign me and I finish my career with the Packers, not when you let me go and I end up somewhere else. So we've had differences on this before, so I will now let you speak as you have a much better understanding of what's going on here, because no one will honor and appreciate Giannis more than I do. He won a championship. That's forever. But I don't got to take this crap, or maybe I do. Take it away, Brian.
Listen, I think he's leaving on as good as a gesture as he can, right? Without burning the fan base and making it feel like I'm done with you guys. I don't want to be a part of this thing anymore. Like, obviously, he requested the trade and he's out of here. Like, I get all that, but he's leaving on goodwill. I mean, he's leaving. It's like he's saying thank you to the city, to the fans, to the ownership for taking a chance on him as a player and allowing him to grow and allowing him to essentially become what he is.
And he won't take a chance on the team or the city. He wants a better chance to win a title. This city and team got you a title. Wouldn't you give them the best chance when things aren't as good? But... Oh, sorry, I interrupted. Never mind. My apologies.
And I understand all that, and that makes all a bunch of sense, but maybe he's seeing something behind the scenes that everyone else isn't, and he understands what's most likely going to happen here than what could happen, right? Like,
sees a better opportunity out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I get that.
And listen, regardless of where he goes, the Heat, he stays at the Heat for 3-4 years and goes somewhere else, I'll always look at him as a Milwaukee Buck, in my opinion. Like, that's the way I'll see Giannis. Like, that's, like, no matter where he goes, like, that's, to me, what he's going to be.
Yeah, he's done playing. When you watch him play for the Miami Heat, you don't go, they got 4 starters and a Milwaukee Buck.
No, but it's an odd thing seeing him in a different uniform. Like, that'll be the way I see it and look at it.
And he chose to leave. The GM said, we leave on good terms. No, this is a sad day.
Well, it's certainly a sad day, yes.
Yeah. And none of them said that.
Yeah, it's certainly a sad day. When you have one of the best players, I don't know where he ranks in the top 100 players of all time.
He's one of the greatest and wherever, you can argue about that, but we were all lucky. This is what I've said before. We are lucky to have been around.
Yeah. So, like, obviously, it's not a happy day when one of the best players that people have ever seen play walks out the door. So, no, it's not. It's not happy-go-lucky. And it's not we part ways on good terms. It's kind of like, not really. Not really. And maybe Giannis feels better about it because obviously he's going down to Miami. He's getting that big old bag of cash and he gets to play where he wants to play. But as Milwaukee Bucks fans and, front office, I don't know if I'd feel great about it because you're losing a real all-star. And that's the nature of it.
I will forgive him. But I'm upset if people don't think there's anything to forgive. No, at a time when his injuries have been an issue, he decided to go somewhere else.
Yeah, and I don't know if I See, I never look at this when players leave as like, oh, I'm going to forgive him. I'm so mad at him. I'm not like that to me is, I don't know. Like, and again, it's a superstar thing, right? When superstars from teams do leave, it burns a little bit more. And I understand that because it doesn't happen very often in Wisconsin sports. Right. I mean, I get the Brewers. They have their system and the way they do things, and guys get good and they trade them and get picks and they develop new guys, and that's their system. But normally in Wisconsin sports, if someone's really good, they normally hang around until the absolute end. And that's the way it normally goes because the teams retain them. And the NBA is just different. Right. It's a different beast. The players control everything. If they want to go after 2 years into their contract, they can go. And I get everyone thought it was going to be a little bit different with Giannis. And honestly, he hung on pretty long, right? People were thinking he was going to go 2 years ago, let alone, you know, just this last year. So he held on pretty long, and he did what you mentioned before, which is forever. He delivered a title to a city that, I mean, did they ever win a title?
They did before you were around. They won one with the greatest player ever for the Bucks. And please don't waste my time by saying it's Giannis. Greatest player ever for the Bucks, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Giannis holds every record, first in this, because he stood around longer. In terms of what was done, Jabbar, 6 years were better than Giannis's best 6 years. But that's a secondary thing.
I'm not going to argue that. I'm not going to argue.
But yes, we're all lucky, and he won a championship. We owe Giannis forever, forever and ever and ever.
And that's why he says. That's why they say the front office forever a Buck, because that's the way it gets. You know, that's the feeling.
But we've lived it. Robin Yount forever a Brewer, okay? Because he had the decision leave. There aren't many of them.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Right. It's hard to be that critical of him, but it's just when everybody starts lying.
You don't need to lie. Yeah, there's no need to lie about it.
Don't say forever a Buck when he's done playing.
Then you can say that.
You can say it. Like, yes. And it's true of other teams where people played on that nobody even remembers where they played, and no one cares.
Correct.
You know, like if Favre had gotten to the Super Bowl or won a Super Bowl with the Vikings, he'd be hated by me because he was the first guy to win the Super Bowl for the Vikings, but he didn't.
Yeah.
And who even remembers, you know, who's going to remember Aaron Rodgers really other than the Packer time unless he does something? It's like, who did he finish with? It's a trivia question. It doesn't affect anything in terms of greatness.
And that's the thing of kind of with Giannis is I don't know how it's going to go in Miami. I don't know the team they're even building around.
Or if he's even going to go there for sure. But, yes, I would say if you ask me this, Aaron Rodgers, forever a Packer.
Yes.
Brett Favre, forever a Packer, yes. Other than getting too damn close to the Vikings.
Now, what would you say about Reggie White, forever a Packer?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
He's too good before Philly. I mean, that would be an injustice to me to Philadelphia. But I would say this.
I'm just saying.
Well, no, I'm not. But I ask you, all right, would you say Aaron Rodgers, when he's done, forever a Badger? I mean, excuse me, forever a Packer?
Yeah, it's not even a question.
Right. Brett Favre?
Yeah, not even a question.
Right. And especially since he gave, it's hard to do, but he gave the Vikings one of their most difficult given how many horrible things have happened to them in Super Bowls, even Brett Favre could almost equal that with what he did in the NFC Championship game. Reggie White, would you say forever a Packer?
Oh, that's hard because he did win a Super Bowl, and he obviously he was phenomenal with the Eagles prior. Like, but does the like? I guess with Reggie. Was the legacy more made with Green Bay? Is my question.
That's a good question. I'd have to ask somebody in Philly. He didn't win anything there, but they were special. It's like Paul Molitor. Paul Molitor's not forever a Brewer. He goes to Toronto and they win a World Series, and he achieved something there that he didn't in Milwaukee.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. That's what I mean for Reggie. It's kind of No, they were phenomenal. Like obviously amazing in Philly, not taking anything away, but like come to Green Bay. And I think the legend status like cements itself.
Well, I can tell you this. You can't tell anybody in Philadelphia that he's forever an Eagle. They ain't buying that. As great as he was.
Yeah, they're not. No, they won't buy that for sure.
Right.
They won't buy that.
I mean,
they'll certainly take that he played for him and he was great and he's a Hall of Famer and they'll take all that, but forever an Eagle, no.
1-800-990-3776. I'll keep asking the questions and unless you call on the Carbliss Talk and Text line, 1-800-990-3776. And of course, it's changing because subscribe on YouTube. Everybody likes to watch as well as listen whenever or wherever you're listening. We're live on YouTube as well. You can watch the show, see what's happening in the studio, comment along with us. Search ESPN Milwaukee on YouTube and subscribe today. And you can also, by going to YouTube, when the Brewers have an evening home game, you will find out at 5:02 whether the Dome is opened or closed. Only on the Homer Hour. Next. The Brian Bulaga Homer Hour. Still got work to do on the phone calls, 1-800-990-3776. The Carbliss Talk and Text line, we have some texts. You never know when someone you care about might need a place like Curative Care for more than a century. Curative Care has been helping children, adults, and families across southeast Wisconsin navigate developmental disabilities and find the support they need to thrive. What really stood out, Curative Care doesn't just provide therapy. They help families every step of the way from early childhood through adulthood. They connect parents with resources, provide guidance during challenging times, and create a community where people truly belong. As I like to say, they get it. One parent put it this way, life is a bunch of curveballs, but this place is a constant. If you have a family member, friend, coworker, or neighbor who may be looking for answers, support, or services for a loved one with developmental disabilities, learn more and do it today. Visit Curative Care. That's curative.org, C-U-R-A-T-I-V-E, curative.org. The Brian Bulaga Homer Hour, and yes, I failed. What's the first question I always assume that we will address at the beginning of each show? Is the Miz pitching tonight? He is not. Brewers are playing against St. Louis, but I don't have to add that because there are only two games, two kinds of games. One, he's pitching, and one, he's not. He's not. On the YouTube, where people are going more and more to follow shows like this, asks Brian, what weakness of Belgium should the U.S. be exploiting tonight?
That's a good question, because I think, for me, Belgium is, Belgium is, to me, in their weakest, probably their back line. I don't think they have great center backs or left or right backs. I don't think that's a strength of their team. Their strength of their team is obviously their winger Doku, De Bruyne, and Tielemans. And then obviously if you could play the ball into Lukaku, their giant striker.
So are you expecting and feeling like the U.S. needs to score a couple or should be able to go score? What you're telling me is I'm expecting the U.S. to score in the first 15 minutes of the game.
I think to get this thing going in the right direction, a goal in the first 20 minutes based on the pressure that they heap on Belgium is what I expect. Because I think that's where you have to get after Belgium, is that they are not the fastest in the back. It's how Senegal absolutely punished them early on in that game when they were up 2-0.
It was
they just, yeah, they just countered them and outran them and put them in bad
position.
And then
at the end, these old vets from Belgium found a way to steal one.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. And Senegal stopped playing that style of soccer.
Yeah. When you're up two goals, they say that can be a bad situation.
It's the most dangerous lead in sports, they right. claim. That's what they claim.
Well, they got another one there.
Yep.
All right. We have Jason. You're on 94.5 ESPN with Brian Bulaga. You have a question for him. Let her fly.
Thank you, guys. First of all, you mentioned my favorite Brewer of all time, Paul Molitor, winning a World Series with the Blue Jays. I believe you forgot he won one with the Twins also.
I don't think he
Maybe
did.
Maybe I'm wrong.
It doesn't matter. He's not forever a Brewer.
Here's my question.
Might be to you. Yeah.
Here's my question. defense, Reggie White won a Super Bowl with the Packers. I still think he's always an Eagle. What happens if Davante Adams wins a Super Bowl with the Rams this year? Is he still going to be an all-time Packer? Because it kind of goes hypocritical what you said about Reggie White.
It's a great question. If he wins one with the Rams, I would say his impact with the Packers was bigger than it would be with the Rams.
Oh, yeah.
At least in my
opinion. He's a Packer great.
Yeah. Now, forever a Packer?
No.
I think that's because then he went to the Raiders and then he went to the Rams. And obviously, if he wins the Super Bowl there. But I think his impact with Green Bay, unless he like goes to the Super Bowl with the Rams and has 10 catches for 200 yards and 3 touchdowns, that is kind of like, well, that's pretty big impact winning a Super Bowl. But I would say if he wins one with the Rams, yeah, I think he's a Packers Hall of Famer. I think he's a Hall of Famer. I think he's a Packers great. But I don't think he's a forever Packer at that point because of his accomplishments with the Rams.
And I would be curious if players took a vote as to how important is it that you be remembered as forever one team or another. As you and others who played have always said, Homer, it's a business. It's a business. Fans sometimes don't get that. And I'll get Brian's response next. That's a tease. Fisco Auto Body, family business owned since 1931. It's not what they do. It's who they are. They're still running the business. It's still Fisco's business. Family still owns it. And that means Fisco's are working on your cars. Imagine how many years they've been working on it. That's one of the reasons they're so good, and that's why I tell you to go there, because people do, and they're all happy. Fisco Auto Body on Forest Home in Franklin. Forest Home in Franklin, expert workmanship guaranteed for the life of your vehicle. Any damage, Fisco has you covered. Fisco Auto Body on Forest Home in Franklin, you like them, and eventually people thank me. Homer, you told me about them. Like, they're surprised. Fisco, 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 to remember the name. Soccer, U.S. and Belgium, coming up soon. The question I said you were going to answer, how important is it to player to be remembered as forever a Packer or forever? And I said, players always say, you don't get it, Homer. It's a business. Like, they're in charge. We aren't. We don't get to decide what we do. So don't hold us responsible. Take it away.
Yeah, I mean, that's majority true. I think for superstar players, like you're looking at your Aaron Rodgers and your Tom Brady's and Drew Brees and guys like that, I think it means more to be remembered as that forever Saint or forever Patriot or Packer or whatever it may be. But for the rest of us minions, we don't get to control that narrative, right? Like we just.
Well, and you've answered it. All players always will talk about where they liked it the most. They don't have any trouble saying that. Because it doesn't mean that's the case for anybody else. And you've made it clear, and many have, that Green Bay was special to you.
Yep, absolutely. And I mean, I consider that, whether an organization considers that or not.
Which is amazing. You're so nice.
Yeah, that's beyond my control.
But and you can't, and you, personally, you won't fake it. It is, and doesn't matter what happened at any other point, you're not going to change as to the things and what you enjoyed there.
Correct. Yeah. 100%.
All right, 100%. Now, a Discount Liquor Twitter poll question. Giannis said Milwaukee will always be my city, my team, my family. He's right or I don't buy it. How would you like to vote, Brian Belaga?
I'm not buying it, especially right now.
62% say he's right and 38% say I don't buy it. Doesn't that speak to how much people like him?
Oh, they love him. Yeah. They love him.
He can get away with it.
Yeah.
You've earned it, I guess. Those answers speak to how people feel about Giannis. As he's in Miami, Milwaukee will always be my city, my team, my family. The day he leaves officially, and 64% are buying it. All right. Ready to go? 2-1, says Brian Belaga, our soccer expert, U.S. and Belgium coming up. And as is appropriate for Brian Bulaga, ESPN National, they got subs filling in tonight. They got subs filling in tonight. This will be the largest soccer audience ever. They got as high as 30 million in the last game. I think they will average over 30 million tonight.
I agree.
And how weird. It's Monday Night Football.
It's amazing.
That's what they call it somewhere. Next.